This is Beth Stalker with Mission Network News, and today I'm talking with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs USA. Todd, thank you for taking the time to talk with me this morning.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And today we're talking about India because India is pushing through a law that makes citizenship related to religion. So can you tell us a little bit more about what's going on?
Well, this is an interesting law because it grants people from Pakistan, people from Bangladesh who have come into India citizenship as long as they are not Muslims, which are the majorities in those countries. And so it is something that is basing citizenship simply on religion. And so there have been protests widely across India. And in fact, some of the protests are from Muslims who are saying, wait a minute, why aren't Muslims included in this? Some of the protests are from Hindus who say, why would you let all these people come in and have instant citizenship? So it seems to be a law that sort of came out of nowhere. It came out of the RSS. It came out of Prime Minister Modi and his party. But it doesn't seem to be something that there was a clamoring for among the general population. So it's curious the way it's been presented and the way it's been passed.
In the past, we've talked about how the sentiment of to be Indian is to be Hindu has been rising in India. And this law is another clear example of that. And you just said that there wasn't a clamoring for this from citizens. So is this push coming more from the administration that's in control of the government in India right now?
It is certainly coming from the ruling party, from the party of Prime Minister Modi. The interesting thing about this law is it didn't just single out Hindus. It said, sure, Hindus from those surrounding countries can come in and become citizens, but also Christians, also Sikhs. Everybody except Muslims, which is really a continuation of their animosity towards Muslims. We saw earlier this year when they went into Kashmir, they sent the military into Kashmir, they canceled the autonomous power that Muslims had there to live as Muslims instead of sort of being under the national control. And so this is a government that has animosity towards Muslims, and I think this new law sort of continues to demonstrate that.
Could this animosity grow into something more extreme? You mentioned Kashmir and what happened earlier this year there, and Muslims basically losing citizenship because of this law. Could this grow to a situation where they might try to eradicate Muslims from the country?
I would not use the word eradicate at this point in time, but they certainly are showing their bias against Muslims. And one of the other things that happened earlier this year is there are thousands, some say maybe even millions of people who are citizens, are living in India and in some cases have lived in India for generations. But they are originally from Bangladesh, and they came over during the time of Bangladeshi independence. They settled in India, but they didn't become citizens. They didn't go through that process. This law specifically would not alleviate their situation. They have been told, unless you can prove that you lived here 50 years ago, you need to go home. You need to go back to Bangladesh. Well, many of these people are saying, well, wait a minute. I was born here. This is my home. How could you send me back to Bangladesh? This law noticeably leaves those people out of the equation. So it's not offering them citizenship. And you see protests now, especially in that part of India, but in other parts of India as well. The other thing that this really does is India has been set up as a secular country. Yes, the majority of people are Hindus, but there are Hindus, there are Muslims, there are Christians. And the government has always been established as this is a secular government. We don't favor any one religion over any other religion. This law changes that because it really does favor other religions over Islam in who they will let in, who they will grant citizenship to, And so that is a concern for all of India's people to say, wait a minute, do we want our government to turn its back on this history of being based on secular principles?
Now, I'm going to shift our focus a little bit because this law, it's targeting Muslims, but what does this mean for Christians? There have already been a lot of problems with nonprofits, NGOs that are Christian NGOs working in the country. They've been kicked out. What does this mean for Christians, if anything?
You know, that's something that we will have to see. I was curious as I read about the law to see that Christians are included in those who can be granted citizenship. I think that is very clearly a PR effort to say, no, you know, this is not a Hindu nationalist law because, look, we're helping the Christians. Look, we're helping the Sikhs as well. So I think there's an element of PR effort to that. But the law has just been put into effect, and so now we get to see how it's carried out. So we know that Modi's government doesn't like Christians. We know that they have come under increased persecution since 2014 when he was elected prime minister. And so whether this law directly affects them or not, we know that there's that underlying threat and that underlying animosity. And so I don't expect this to change things for the better, certainly for Christians, but we'll see if it's used in some way to change things for the worse.
What can Christians do outside of India? How can we pray for this situation?
Well, I think we definitely can pray and pray for our brothers and sisters there to be encouraged, to be protected, and pray that they will continue to reach out and not become intimidated, not become silenced, even though they understand, you know, our government is against us. Pray that they'll continue to be bold witnesses for Christ. The other thing that we can do is pray for the government of India. Pray, you know, the Bible tells us to pray for those who persecute. And so we can pray for Prime Minister Modi. We can pray for his government in India. Thirdly, I think that we can make sure our government is aware that we care about these things. We care about religious freedom. I was pleased to see that the U.S. Committee on International Religious Freedom has already issued a statement about this new law. They are clearly paying attention to this and to what's going on in India. We need to make sure our government officials know that that's important to us and that that's something we want our government to do, and we can have a voice in the process.
Any other comments on this topic?
Nope.
All right, let's move on to Northern Nigeria. So as you know, the USCIRF recently released a new report on the Sharia criminal law in Northern Nigeria. Can you catch our listeners up to speed on what this law actually is?
Well, there are 12 states in the northern part of Nigeria where Islamic penal laws and criminal procedure are used in the court system of that state. And the interesting thing is that when these laws were put into effect, when these states said, yes, we're going to use Sharia law as the basis of our law, at the time they said, oh, well, this won't affect Christians because there were protests, there were questions. Wait a minute. I don't live under Sharia law. I'm not a Muslim. And they said, oh, yeah, it won't apply to you. It'll just apply to Muslims. Well, what we have seen in the years since they have put these laws into effect is that they are used against Christians. They are used to punish and to persecute. And so that's a concern, and it's good to see, again, that the U.S. Committee on International Religious Freedom is watching and paying attention to that and speaking out in behalf of religious freedom.
How you said that this law has been used against Christians. What does that look like?
Well, for instance, one of the things that Sharia law would forbid against is speaking ill of Muhammad or speaking ill of Islam. And so, again, the original statement was that, well, this won't apply to Christians, but in some cases it can be, and it can be used to put pressure on Christians. Wait a minute. That's against the law. You can't say that. So I don't know of a specific case off the top of my head where a Christian has been brought up on these Sharia charges. but it certainly affects the atmosphere. It affects the way the legal system is put into place and put into practice, and that affects the Christian citizens of these states just as it does Muslim citizens.
What can Christians outside of Nigeria do? Is there a way they can team up with Voice of the Martyrs to encourage and support the Christians who are under the Sharia criminal law in northern Nigeria?
Voice of the Martyrs is very involved in helping, standing with, encouraging Christians in northern Nigeria. There are definitely ways that people can be involved in that. Obviously, we can pray for them. We can give to support some of the work that's going on there. A third way, though, that people can be directly involved, and we have opened this up on our website, and we will post a link along with this story, but is to write an encouraging letter to a Christian in Nigeria. We have a way online to do that. Because most Nigerians or many Nigerians speak English, there is the possibility for that kind of direct connection. And our staff there is able to take these letters and place them into the hands of Christians there in the persecution parts of northern Nigeria and kind of link up the body of Christ in the United States with the body of Christ in Nigeria. So that's a very practical way to get involved and just give encouragement to our brothers and sisters who are facing persecution in Nigeria.
How can our listeners also pray into this situation?
Again, as we commonly talk about, I think praying for encouragement is just a really foundational thing. It would be easy, living as a Christian in northern Nigeria, to become discouraged. You see the attacks. You see people being killed. You know that the laws of your states are against you. So praying for encouragement, even as you look around and there's a lot to be discouraged about, humanly speaking, we pray that they will be encouraged and that they'll continue to be bold witnesses for Christ. The other thing is just praying for safety. We know Boko Haram is active. We know there are jihadis from the Fulani tribe that are active in northern Nigeria. The government doesn't always provide the protection that we would hope for. And so praying for protection over our brothers and sisters is a significant way to pray as well.
Any final comments on this topic?
Nope, I think we covered it.